The issue of transgender rights has rarely been so prominent in American politics, from presidential campaign ads to the election of the first openly trans member of Congress to arguments this past week at the U.S. Supreme Court. William Brangham is back to talk with one recent pioneer about how she sees this current moment.
My guest is no stranger to both the triumphs and the vitriol surrounding transgender rights in America. 2 years ago, Lee Finke became the first trans person elected to the Minnesota state legislature. And even though she endured numerous threats, she leveraged her position and a Democratic majority to help pass legislation protecting other trans people in her state. Lee Finke, so nice to have you on the program. As I said, you've been in office almost 2 years now, but this is a seemingly very fraught time for trans rights in this country. With this past election and all of those attacks, the first openly trans member of the U.S. Congress, and now the Supreme Court case this week. I just wonder how this is, how has this been for you the last few months?
Yeah, it's been a lot. And, you know, thank you so much for inviting me and for having trans voices on your show. I think what we have seen over the last couple of months, I mean, it is a compounding pile of difficulty for a community that is very small, that we receive so much outsized attention, given the impact and size that we have in the communities that we exist in. We're struggling. We're all struggling and trying to figure out what all of this is going to mean.
You were here while the Supreme Court was arguing this case. That case centered around Tennessee's attempt to ban trans care for trans children. And the justices had a lot of different arguments about that case. And I wonder, listening to what they had to say, what stood out to you?
I mean, what stood out to me is that we are trying to figure out a very complicated answer to a very simple question, which is that gender-affirming care is healthcare, and healthcare decisions belong to families and doctors, and they do not belong to politicians or the courts. We do not do this for other forms of healthcare. There is a very specific reason that trans people's healthcare is under the microscope that it is, and it is because we are trans. There is no way to understand this other than discrimination based on our identity, and that this question continues to be asked and continues to be litigated and now is in front of the Supreme Court. It's incredibly difficult to hear people finding reasons to further discriminate and alienate trans people, especially our kids.
And it also seemed that the justices wanted to talk about other trans-related issues, bathrooms, sports. I mean, do you feel like this is just the beginning of an ongoing cascade?
Yes, this cascade has been coming. I think with the recent election and now what we're seeing at the court, it is going to really crash down. There is no reason to be talking about trans kids in sports. That is not a problem. There is no reason to be talking about trans people using the bathroom. That is not a problem. The only reason we are here is because it is politically valuable. And until the conservative Republican institutions realize that this is a human, that they are hurting human people and they are not just making hypothetical political arguments, they are going to continue.
Yes, we've certainly seen those. I mean, Representative Nancy Mace here in Congress, as soon as we had a trans member of Congress, she introduces a bill to ban trans people using bathrooms that don't conform to the sex of their birth. President Trump has vowed to get trans kids out of children's sports. I mean, do you think that this is, again, just, it seems like the GOP is very interested in pursuing this issue, even though you're arguing it's not really an issue.
No, it is not an issue. We have existed in the culture, whether or not other people have noticed. Now that our visibility is here, there is a pushback, and that pushback is getting extreme. You mentioned Nancy Mace and her, you know, it was a historic moment for us to have a first congressperson elected in Sarah McBride, and but she didn't even get to be sworn in before she had the whole apparatus of the Republican House majority centered on her, specifically dehumanizing her, taking away her fundamental basic dignity. It's beyond reproach.
President-elect Trump, as you well know, spent tens of millions of dollars attacking Kamala Harris over her stance on trans rights. And Some Democrats are arguing that Democrats' embrace of trans rights cost them this election. Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton said that the Democratic Party is, quote, out of touch on trans issues and said, quote, I have two little girls. I don't want them getting run over on a playing field by a male or formerly male athlete. But as a Democrat, I'm supposed to be afraid to say that. What do you make of that argument?
It's wrong. It's hurtful. It's despicable to hear coming from someone inside of the Democratic establishment. The National Democratic Party has accepted trans people into their coalition. We have been a part of not just their voting base, but they have embraced us and protected us and moved to have us be protected under their banner. If they are going to adopt the framing of Republicans, which is what Congressman Moulton did in that quote that you just read, if they are going to try to embrace the dehumanizing, misgendering language of the Republicans, then it is going to become more and more difficult for trans people to remain a willing partner in that coalition. And 90% of trans people voted for Kamala Harris. We are small, but we are mighty, and we hear that. We hear that, and we are worried about what it means for the future.
All right, Representative Lee Finke of Minnesota, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.